Chapter 2. I had a hard time sleeping that night. My mom heard me tossing about, I guess, because she came into my bedroom. She knew I was pretty angry about the idiots at the landfill site and about the injured seagull. "How are you doing?" "I don't know. I can't sleep. I just don't understand why people have to be so cruel." "Welcome to the club, but don't drive yourself crazy trying to figure it out. You did a good thing." "But it wasn't enough. You sound just like your father." I thought then of the battles my old man had lost, but I didn't say anything about it. "We should just move, get out of here," I said, but I didn't mean it. I loved the harbor in front of my house. I loved life here in the boom docks with forest and water and plenty of elbow room. "Maybe we will yet," she said. "Now get some sleep." But I lay there thinking about my old man and how he had been whipped trying to stop the dump. Sure, he had people on his side, but not enough of them. People along this shore never had enough clout to be heard. And then when they pushed the incinerator through, there weren't enough fighters left around here to stand up to it. A lot of them had just moved on to some place still clean, still unpolluted. The incinerator was supposed to cut down on the amount of garbage going into the ground. Instead, more junk kept coming in from farther away. And now there was the ash, which my father said was much worse than any of the garbage going into the pit. A week had passed. I named the gull Jack, after an uncle of mine who had his leg blown off by a friendly landmine in the Gulf War. Despite his loss, Uncle Jack held on to a great sense of humor. My seagull, however, never quite forgave the world for taking away the feel of the wind under his wings. I kept him in a cage and fed him fish scraps from the IGA. He sure was mean to me, but I never held that against him. After a few days, he trusted me enough to eat an old fish head in one gulp straight out of my hand. But every so often he still took a chunk out of me. He had a cautious kind of friendship, Jack and me. Now he watched me with a curious kind of smirk on his face, or so I imagined. As I got out my windsurfing gear for the first time that summer, summer was starting to happen, and I wanted to get out of the water. With the fine off my board, I set it on the grass and put the sail into place. Jack watched as my sail caught the wind and billowed out for the first time that year. I stood for a few seconds, perfectly positioned, until a big gust came up out of the east and yanked hard on the sail, pulling me clean over onto the ground. My old instincts weren't quite up to snuff. Practice needed. I put on my wetsuit and carried the board down to the harbor, just down at the bottom of our garden. The wind was punchy and a bit chilly, but as soon as I found my feet and made a clean water start, I was gone. I hooked in my harness, leaned back for the perfect position, and let the board spit off up to the harbor in the deep, cold, salt water. I disturbed a bunch of Canada geese near the shoreline at Blueberry Point, and they scudded the water with their wings as they took to flight. Then I cranked a turn and headed back out to the deeper water and stronger winds where whitecaps made me pull in on the sail and pop over them for a bit of air. If I hadn't seen a second sail further up to the shore, up near the dump, I think I would have gone further out towards the mouth of the harbor and rattled my bones flying over the little waves that were pouring through. But there it was, a beautiful blue and red windsurfer sail off to the north. Another jib, this one with a bit too much wind from the wrong direction. I lost it and settled in. The drink was cold. Cold water awakening parts of me that had been asleep all winter. How embarrassing! It took a few awkward minutes to get my board around in position. my feet in the straps and my cold, shivering body back under control. But once the wind and I had made friends again, I felt it collect me out of the water and pull me to my feet. We began to get speed just as a magnificent loon popped up out of a deep dive in front of me. I cranked hard on the tail to carve an S turn around it with a word of apology. Now I'd lost the sail I'd seen before. Where was it, and who was this other brave soul willing to surf the cold waters of my harbor? I cruised north along the shore, wishing I didn't have to travel this way. Up near the dump site that came to within 500 meters of the water, the incinerator stack was right in my sights again. How could I miss it? The cold gray-white plum pumped up into the otherwise blue sky. I was in close to shore and passing the abandoned fishing wharf that the government had rebuilt a few years back. Now it was empty. The fish were mostly gone. The wharf was just a long, ugly concrete arm that stuck out from the shoreline. It served no purpose, just another eyesore. I began to wonder if the windsurfing I'd seen was a mirage or if someone had wiped out and couldn't get back up. That happened to everybody at least once. One time I had to paddle my board back nearly a mile to get home. Just couldn't find a way to get going in a wrong wind. I was out of the sea wind now and into a minor light breeze. No white caps. I studied the shoreline as I passed beyond the wharf. Deep spruce forest and rocks. But as you got closer to the dump, the trees looked less healthy. The dump supposedly had some kind of liner, something to keep the ash from leaking out. My guess, and it didn't take a genius to make this one, was that it didn't work. Something was leaking, slowly but surely, into the groundwater. Then I saw the sail on and the board beached by the little trickly river we called Bedford Brook. I cruised in close to the shoreline and hopped off into the knee-deep water that had a light film of something on it. I slipped on some slimy rocks and fell over with the sail on top of me. As I lay there in the mud trying to find my way out from under my wet sail, I could smell the stench. Some kind of odor like old tires or diesel fuel. I didn't know exactly, but whatever it was in the water coming from the brook. When I untangled myself from the wet sheet of my sail, there was a girl standing there. I guess I looked pretty foolish, but she wasn't smiling. She looked mad, real mad.